414 in the hymn book.
Pray that your spirit will point out areas where we are not like the Lord Jesus Christ yet,
pray that our hearts would be sensitive to that leading, and that we would hear your word and obey it as best that we can. Give us a good day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 507 goes right along with what we were just talking about. "'Twas best for him to have his way with thee."
Dick Prue had his surgery on his foot and ankle.
week. So we want to pray for him that he'll heal up, and hopefully we'll see him soon. Probably going to be a good month or so before we'll be able to see him again. He can come preach for us on Wednesday nights. And then for those who don't know, let me give you the details on John Zwingle coming back. He's going to be here on March the 10th. On that Sunday, we will have regular Sunday school and morning service, but we will also have an evening service at 6:30 p.m. that night. He will also be here on Wednesday, March 13th, and then the following Sunday, March the 17th, we will have just Sunday school and morning service. So just want to remind everybody about that. John Zwingle will be here during that time. I believe that's all the announcements that I'm aware of right now. So why don't we, I've forgotten to do this several times. I want to remind those of you who weren't here in Sunday school what our memory verse is. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, if you want to take your Bible and turn there for a moment. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. All right, let's say it together one time. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Okay, very good. Let's take our hymn books now and we'll turn to number 622. We're marching to Zion. 622. understand why we do some of this. 824.
See walk stood there in wonder. How could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Come to the stand, God said.
What are we singing? Give us a song. When I'm here, how would you like to hear another song? Don't get too excited about it. How would you like to hear another song? Amen. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. So you're going to do it by yourself. They voted.
Side.
I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven's wonderful. Right, fancy place. Praise the Lord, I'm going there. Yeah, I hope you are as well. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. I'll just read one or two verses here, and we'll preach a message this morning. Hope it'll be a blessing and a help to us. Bible would teach us that man ought always to pray. And I want to remind you this morning that great things happen when you pray. It is a thrill to pray. Sometimes our busy schedules excuse us from praying. God doesn't, but our busy schedules will excuse us from praying. Man ought always to pray, not to faint. And we, Jeremiah chapter 33, did I say that? Okay. We ought to always, always, always be in a season of prayer with God. Sometimes our busy schedules prohibit us from praying the way we ought to pray. There's not a criteria for the length of a prayer, but we ought to speak often with God. Ma and I travel quite a bit in the motorhome, and sometimes she doesn't say anything to me. And I'll say, "What's the matter? Are you mad at me?" And I wonder if God doesn't sometimes want to ask the same question when we haven't talked to him in a while. What's the matter? You mad at me? Vice versa. God talks to us. God's not mad at us. And we need to be listening. And every once in a while, I will say to her, "You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me." Or she'll say, "You're not listening to me." And God wants us to listen to him. Now, you have on your lap the book that will give you a direct line, uninterrupted, to God. You will not get a phone bill at the end of the month. You can speak to God as many times and as often as you want and allow him to speak to you. You have in your lap 66 conversations with God. And for those of you who are good readers, I covet you. These young people sitting down here, if there's one thing that I could say to you this morning is learn to read. Learn to read. Learn to enjoy to read. We were talking a little bit about how our nation got in the state that it's in today. One of the reasons is when we were in school, we weren't taught to read. And there was no phonics taught to me. It was kind of like sight reading. And if you don't have a good memory, you can't remember what word that was. And it becomes reading is extremely important. And good books are extremely important. And good books that were written by good authors. And if you have any doubt, find a man of God and ask him about it. What books would recommend. And we ought to be readers the best we possibly can. While I'm rambling here for just a minute, we ought to do the best you can with what you got. The person sitting next to you may be smarter than you, may be better looking than you, may be more warm than you, but you are to do the best you can with what God has given you. Never say you can't, but do what God wants you to do in your life. Amen? God has something for you to do. Don't waste it in the fleeting years, as they say. Don't waste what God can do with you still. There are some people who need grandmas out there. Don't have a grandma. Don't have an active grandma. And you can become a grandma to them and a friend to them. There's many of us who need a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. But we have Christian folks who we need to be a friend to. Somebody that you might meet in church. Somebody you might meet along the way. Go out of your way to be a friend. In Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Heavenly Father, we read that promise. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have divinely preserved and protected it, that we might stand before this body here and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Lord, I pray that something will be done here in this place, and that in the days that lie ahead, eternal dividends would be reaped. Accomplish your will, we thank you for. The lighthouse that's here and the people who have gathered, bless them. Those who wanted to be here but couldn't be here because of illness or difficulties of life, Lord, I pray that you would meet their needs. Bless now this service, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I appreciate the bottle of water. But you remember what I told you I did with it when I was down in South Jersey? It got to be strong to open this thing. It's going to last for a couple more services. But you saw the bottle was right here? And I didn't realize while I was praying, my hand moves. And I did touch this bottle, and it had the top on it, and it didn't fall over. But when I was down in South Jersey, they had a glass or a bottle made. But I touched it, and it fell right over. And it had a little thing that went around the side, and, you know, we could have put goldfish in there. And then one of the loyal deacons gets up while I'm still praying. And I don't know how he had a towel, but he came up here with a towel and started wiping that off. When I finished the prayer, he was still standing there wiping it off. So if you all close your eyes again, I'm going to drink. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Call unto me and I will show thee, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that, you know, if each one of us had the opportunity to stand behind a sacred desk and share with us the great and mighty things that God has done for you, would you have a short list or a long list? Would some of the things that have now become commonplace, when we left this morning about, I guess we were about 30 miles from here or so. Anyway, we prayed for traveling mercies and we prayed for safety. Amen. And God got us here. And we pray, I'm talking about we pray all the time and God answers our prayer. And we ought to be thankful for God answering prayer. And as a people and a body of believers, we ought to be thankful for God answering prayer. And ask, and God will answer thee. He doesn't always give you the answer you want, but he'll give you the answer you need. And we ought to pray. Great things happen when you pray. If you're looking for a title, you can use that. That's okay. Great things happen when we pray. In the book of Exodus, we find Moses prayed, and God delivered him and his people. In the book of Joshua, Joshua prayed and God made the sun to stand still. That's a real answer to prayer. Amen. Solomon prayed and God made him the wisest man there ever was. I came in second, but I'm still praying. I didn't think that was that funny. Solomon prayed and God made him. Man ought to always pray. There are so many times we ought to pray about anything and everything. Let me say this. Elijah prayed and God sent the fire from heaven. Jonah prayed and he didn't stay in that belly too long. God answered his prayer. Christians prayed and God delivered Peter out of jail. Paul and Silas prayed and God delivered them out of the prison. And you can go through scripture and find time and time and time and time again when the people have prayed and the people of God prayed. And this ought to be a place here where people are praying, where folks know that they can call up on a telephone and just find somebody who answered the phone and say, I need you to pray. My son, whatever the situation may be, I toyed with the idea of standing here and giving you illustrations of God has answered our prayers. But that's kind of like stealing the show. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm looking at you saying you could do the same thing. Some of you are shy, some of you are bashful, and you wouldn't want to do that. But if time allotted it, and we could do it, and we could just turn the clock right back, and so we didn't lose time, because time is very precious. Now, the commodity getting more valuable. The older you get, the more valuable it becomes. And you have many, many blessings that you could share with people. And wouldn't that be good for a testimony time, that we could start now and give testimonies how God has answered prayer? Uh-huh. And how God's been real good to you and you could share. And even while I'm speaking in my mind, I'm going through those times where God has answered our prayers. And God still is in the prayer answering business. And we need to be much in prayer for your church here. And anytime, anywhere, any place, we ought to be praying one for another. This church is a building, but it is the people within it that we ought to be praying one for another. Fluency in prayer is not always what God's looking for. Proper construction in prayer is not always what God's looking for. God's looking for your heart. God's looking for your mind to be devoted unto him. It's not a trade-off. Every once in a while, as parents, we will say, Johnny, if you do this, I'll give you that. If you do this, I'll give you that. God wants to be as benevolent as we possibly can. Now, when little Johnny's misbehaving, he's not going to get all he would have gotten had he behaved. You hear that, little Johnny? Little Joanne? It's not, well, God, I've been good. God wants to be good. And he wants to be good to you. And he wants to be good to me. And let me say this, for the very fact that you are sitting in this sanctuary this morning, God's been good to you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Between now, we need to rig a little button up here. And I'm going to put it under certain of those chairs. And when I'm anticipating an amen, I'm just going to push the button. Yeah, that's what we'll go. Ooh. I'll take that for an amen. Ooh. You know, we ought to be ready. People on the outside need to know that you're amening on the inside. Thank you. Seriously, the heart attack. They need to know that you enjoy coming to church. Amen. You invite them out to church. You say, yeah. No, they need to know that you enjoy coming to church. Amen? Amen. And it's part of it. And we ought to be. And great things. Prayer is part of enjoyment of church in God's house. It's a place where we can pray. Is it the only place you can pray? No. You can pray anytime, any place, anywhere. Except when you're driving. Okay? And the car's moving. You ever do that? We drive a whole lot together. Yeah? You what? We do what?
I take a bus.
You take a bus. You better hope the man's saved, but he's got better character than not to close his eyes while he's praying. And we ought to be in a spirit where we can be. And folks can look at us in the workplace or in the neighborhood and count on us to be praying for them. Great things happen when you pray. I'm going to give you a grocery list. Okay, is that all right? You know what a grocery list is? It's an ABC 1, 2, 3. Would you like to know how many items are on my grocery list? I had to paste two pieces of paper together to get it. All right? And I don't know what time the grocery store closes. Okay? But I'll let you know. Don't go shopping someplace else while you're sitting there. I know this group of people would never do anything like that. Take out the little stand-up pad or your little cell phone and go dit-dit-dit to make up your grocery list while the preacher's up here preaching. I don't think you would even think about that. Now that I put that thought in your mind, put your pen away and just pay attention here. Great things happen when we pray. Turn back your Bibles to Luke 18. Now I'm going to ask you to turn and turn and turn. And I won't tell you how many times turn, but I'm going to ask you to, so you might read the verse that I'm making reference to. I want you to walk out of here today knowing that great things happen when we pray. God's not done doing great things in America. Can I get an amen? God's not done. As long as these lights are on and these doors are open, God's not done with doing great things in America. You're in America, and God has done great things with this place. God's doing great things in this place. And the days that lie ahead, God will continue to do great things. But he's looking to you to do the great things. He's going to influence you. He's going to indwell you to do the great things that he wants to see done. God's not done saving souls. God's not done with a group of people singing and testifying of God's goodness. Great things happen when we pray. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, we've been in situations in our travels where men ought always to pray and not to faint. We made a wrong turn someplace, somewhere in Pennsylvania, I believe it was. And we were going on a road, and it was like, you know, two cars wide, and it got down to one car wide, and then it was down to the cow pass wide. And I didn't know exactly what to do. And I looked down yonder here, and, you know, it drops way down. And so I decided I'm going to turn around, and I thought, oh, no. What do we do? Well, we did two things. One, we called AAA, but we called God first. You say, well, I'm just going to trust God. Well, you can trust God, but I'm just going to call AAA. You say, well, you're not a man of faith. I'm a man of faith when that truck driver came and that chain came and whatever. You've got to have some faith. You've got to have some faith. The other day, I got stuck in the mud right outside of our house. It's got a mile, half a mile, quarter mile, whatever, driveway going out there. And I had garbage I had to put out, and I pulled off the gravel driveway, and I got onto the side of the road, and that thing sunk down. And I couldn't get out. What did I do? I prayed. Amen? And I called AAA. Now, you understand what I'm saying? There are certain things that God expects you with the normal intelligence that he gave you to use that normal intelligence to accomplish his will in your life. And so I prayed, but then, and I tried to do the best I could, but then the truck came and pulled it out. This morning when I got here, I chose a parking place right behind your car, but your car wasn't there. But I got behind where I thought your car was going to be. But in so doing, my back right tire is sinking down in the mud, even as I talk. My wife is shaking her head. So all you men, before you go home, I want you to get behind that motorhome and push. And push. Because I know what it's like. But we ought to pray. Well, just pray and forget about getting it pushed out, or forget about getting it towed out, or forget about it. You know, man ought always to pray. Prayer doesn't negate the fact that we're going to do what God has expected us and given us the ability to do. Those tracks, now I mentioned them four times now, but those tracks on the back will not see someone saved unless somebody takes a track and gives it to somebody, or leaves it somewhere, or puts it in an envelope and mails it to somebody. It won't work unless you do something for that. Let me encourage you, anew and afresh and again, to do what God can enable you to do to get the gospel message out. America needs revival, and revival is going to happen when Americans hear the word of God once again. How many grew up in an era when you were waiting for church to be over so you can get home and listen to Billy Graham? Don't go on the theology and all that kind of stuff. But there are people who were interested in hearing somebody preach. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that you could even think about listening to. Y'all still here? So we need to have that once again back in our marketplace. Great things happen when we pray. And so in verse 1 of chapter 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Put that somewhere in the crevice of your brain today, for tomorrow you will need it. You will need it. You may well need it, that you'll be able to pray and ask God for deliverance, for whatever it may be. God is in the prayer answering business. Some people say, well, God doesn't answer prayer like he used to. Well, we don't pray like we used to. We don't talk with him as we used to. Sheffy in the old time film, when he was looking to be ordained, They accused him of praying in a very unusual way. And they brought an allegation against him. He was an old-time preacher. And they brought an allegation against him and said that somebody heard you praying out in the woods. And they said this, that when you were praying, you sounded like you were talking to God. And he said to the reviewing board of the Presbyterians, he said to them, well, pray tell me, when you pray, who do you talk to? I think when we pray, we ought to be talking to God. Amen. And whatever that sounds like, that's what it sounds like. Great things happen when we pray. James chapter 1 is going to be like a little sword drill. First one up, get a prize, piece of candy or something. No. James chapter 1, verse 5. Please turn there. I'm going to ask you each time, please turn there. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If I copied it correctly out of my Bible onto my notes here. If any of you lack wisdom, amen. People who lack wisdom, people who want wisdom, people who need wisdom, and that's a few of us, amen. That's more than a few of us, that's all of us. James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him in the good. If you lack wisdom in teenagers today, mom and dad, you need some wisdom on training and upbringing these young people. Grandma, you need some training from the word of God on upbringing these children. I think we do have a few grandma and grandpas. And it is absolutely, to me, amazing how what was once prohibited by the wife, who is now the grandma, things change. Oh, he's so cute. No, that's okay. He'll change. He'll be different. No, that's all right. He can have another one. Oh, we can buy him some more. Am I identifying with anybody? You know, there's just something happens between that parenting and grandparenting stage. Well, I think we ought to go back to parenting once again, grandparents. I love you. That's why I'm doing this. I love you. James 1 and 5. If any of you lack wisdom, we ought to pray if we lack wisdom. If we're looking for trouble, if we're not looking for trouble, we want wisdom, we ought to pray. Psalm 34 and verse 6. Psalm 34 and verse 6. Go ahead, turn there. Because if you're sitting still, you might fall asleep on me, and that's dangerous. You might fall out. Somebody's going to have to carry you. Psalms, is that what I said? Psalm 34, verse 6. Psalms 34, verse 6. I'll say it one more time. Psalm 34 and verse 6. People who want to be out of trouble ought to pray. People who want to be out of trouble ought to pray. I'm going to read it one more time. Or I'm going to make that statement one more time. People who want to be out of trouble ought to pray. Now, where did I tell you the motorhome was? In the back. And if you park on that street in the back, it goes like this where you can park, and then it drops off. Have you ever been out there? And I got there before the gentleman was there, and my wife said to me, he parks in front. I was going to pull up on your spot. But the junior Holy Spirit was sitting alongside of me and said, you know, the brother drives up there, and that's where he parks. And so I said, I guess I got to back up. And I'm backing up. I'm thinking I'm going off the side of the cliff. And so forth. A man ought always to pray. And so while I was doing it, I said, I need an illustration. Maybe I could use that in church today. So I'm praying that I get off of that mound without going down the side of the hill and so forth and so on. So you are either the cause of my prayer or the answer to my prayer. We'll let you know in a couple hours, okay? Man ought always to pray. When you're trying to get out of trouble, it wouldn't hurt you to pray. And I thought to myself, now if I tell the church people that, I'm praying to God that he'd get me out of trouble. All right? And you will know whether God answers my prayers or not at 1 o'clock. By 1 o'clock, you'll know whether God answers. But I'm still going to pray. Amen? Am I going to do anything about it? Yes. I might call AAA the first thing. I might say, some of you guys look pretty strong and healthy. Come on, get behind that thing. When I start going forward, just give it a little shove. God answers prayer with you. And you got the idea? We ought to pray. To get out of trouble, we ought to pray. Oh, I can solve this problem myself. Well, if you can solve it yourself, thank God for answering prayer before you needed an answer to the prayer. You and God need to do a whole lot of talking. As a grandfather, aren't you thrilled when your grandson comes to you and said, can you help me? I'm trying to put this train track together, and I just can't do it. And you go and do it, and you help them, and you really want to, and it's not a pain, and it's not a bother. Or the little girl comes to you and say, Grandma, I never know how to make a candy apple. Oh, one of my favorites, you'll sell them. And you show them and tell them and explain to that little girl, so excited. God gets excited when we come to him and say, Lord, I can't figure this out. Maybe, just maybe, one of the reasons we have so many problems in America is because people don't go to God and say, I got this problem, and I just can't figure it out. How hot does that syrup have to be for that candy apple? I just can't figure that out, God. Can you give me some directions? That Lionel train, when you put together, can I put O gauge and God, can you help me on that? With that problem that I have in my life? God's a problem solving. Now, he'd rather you free yourself from all those problems. But when you have a problem, God's there ready to answer and help you through that problem. People who want out of trouble ought to pray. People who want wisdom ought to pray. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Turn there. There's an index in the front of your Bible. If you don't know the books of the Bible in order, don't be ashamed to go to the front of your Bible. Do you know Some of us, the things that we knew yesterday, we don't know today. You know, some of the things that we knew yesterday, we don't know today. I had a pain in my shoulder, and a young man at church back home massaged it and got rid of it. So I wanted to call him and tell him thanks, but I couldn't remember his name. Now, strangely enough, you know, in your mind, while you stand up here speaking, your mind goes through. And that was Brother Weaver. Isn't that right? Isn't that unusual? I remembered it now. But when we're done church and we get back in the motorhome, I would call brother, Ma, who should I call? And so, anyway, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, when people want revival, we ought to pray. We right here need to pray for revival in America. A spiritual awakening in America. A group of people who are not ashamed of being a born-again, Bible-believing, God-loving Baptist individual. We want revival, and therefore we ought to pray. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. See that? And pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you want revival, we ought to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray for revival. We need to expect a revival. If you pray for something, it ought not to come as a big surprise. I prayed for that, and God answered my prayer. How surprising. Isn't that amazing? Miracle money, back home. Been praying for the school back home, and somebody wrote out a check for $500,000. Oh, almost had a heart attack. Could you believe that? Somebody was praying, and God answered somebody's prayer. God wants to answer your prayer. But you know, every once in a while, when you got them little grandkids around, isn't it sweet when they ask you for something and then you give it to them? And sometimes, I'm just trying to think, I was with somebody the other day and I wanted to give them something, but I was waiting for them to ask. And they never did ask, so I never had the opportunity of giving it to them. Now, if your grandkids are here, don't listen to this. Because grandma and grandpa are anxious to give you something. Now, mom and dad are not as anxious for you to get it as grandma might be anxious for you to. Anyway, follow that one. People who want revival ought to pray. We want revival, do we not? I think it's a shame that our young people today have to grow up in the contaminants that we've been handed to them along the way. Generational says, two generations ago, we stopped telling children no. N-O, not K-N-O-W. No. 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 Sometimes we ought to just practice that. When my little girl Kay was growing up, we practiced that a whole lot. I mean a whole lot. No. 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 She would say, you want more spinach? What do you think she's going to say? No. You want more ice cream? She wants to say yes. But we taught her to say no. 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 Again, it's good to train young people to discern between good and bad. Yes and no. You know, every once in a while, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you need a refresher course. Just because you can afford it doesn't mean you ought to buy it. You all still out there? Just because you can afford it doesn't mean you ought to buy it. There's a missionary who would benefit from your extravagance while they're out on the field coming just one meal away from starving. When people really want revival, we need to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Glad you brought that up. I don't know which one of you did, but turn from their wicked ways. Is there anything left in this nation that's wicked? Is there anything that's wrong? You find a few Bible believers who will say there's something wrong with that. No, that's bad. 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 Drinking, bad. Smoking, bad. That's bad. And I don't know how long your grocery list would be, but young people, you know, once you get a little bit older, you're exempt from anything that's bad. Now, I don't have my grocery list up here of bad for adults, bad for senior citizens, bad for middle-aged folks, bad for young people, bad for teenagers. But you know, there is some advantage of knowing what's good and what's bad. People who want revival ought to be wanting to know what's right and what's wrong. We are on right now, number something. 1 Samuel chapter 12, please turn there, please. 1 Samuel chapter 12. If you want revival, pray. If you want to get out of trouble, pray. If you want wisdom, pray. Now we're on. If you want help, and if you want to help others, you ought to pray. If you want to help others, you ought to pray. Do you know what a do-gooder is? Well, we got to eradicate a little bit of that out of our minds, because when somebody's in trouble, you ought to do what you can to get them out of trouble. Friday night, I'm driving down Main Street in Berlin, and I'm going this way. Another car is going that way. I'm in this car. Somebody's in this car, and they're driving erratically, and they stop 45 mile an hour speed limit going through on the street. And I noticed the guy that's there, he can't walk a straight line. Oh my. I'm just going to keep right on going, because what can I do? What can you do? I pulled over to the side. There was another car behind me. I pulled over to the side and I'm getting out. You're crazy. The guy was drunk. It was a young lady, apparently a young lady friend of his who was sober, trying to get him out. He was flipping out and all kinds of other crazy things. What are you going to do? I'm going to do something. No. It's none of my business. Huh? What are you going to do? Maybe if we care just a little bit more about that. I'm not advocating you go out there and you see somebody drunk driver, pull over, you know, pretend you're a policeman. That'll work too. And that's been done before. But anyway, you know, I was ready to jump out of the car. Fortunately, they solved the problem before I got out of the car to where they were. And I would have told them to get back in the car. Lady, you get in the car and you wait right here. My friends are coming. They'll be here shortly. Ma, call the police. It's none of your business. One for whom Christ died all of a sudden became our business. Amen. Jesus shed his precious blood for that one. I'm not advocating it. All I'm saying is we need to start caring about other people. If you want to be what God wants us to be, if you want to help others, we need to pray. Let me suggest you may not want to do that unless you're prayed up. You don't want to have a whole list of sins you want to confess before you ask God for your help in this particular situation. You know what God did there? He said, rev your nuts. I'm going to get that guy in that car and I'm going to have him sit in the passenger seat and his wife or girlfriend drive that car. She's sober. I'm going to have her drive that car and drive safely home. God answers prayer. You need to be willing to help. Am I making any sense to you this morning? We need to have that desire to help others. We ought to pray. We're on number, if you're keeping track. Psalm 139, please turn there. If you notice, I haven't looked up while you're turning. I don't want to offend you or neglect you or anything else. People who want to be right with God ought to pray. People who want to be right with God ought to pray. I don't know how often you may go for a physical, medical doctor, for a physical exam. But when you go, you are somewhat praying, maybe not consciously or in earnest, but I pray that the doctor doesn't find anything wrong with me. I got a kind of bump on this leg, and I don't know where it came from, and I got another bump over here, and I'm not sure where that came from. So I'm going to pray that he don't find anything wrong with me. Well, that's good. You ought to pray. You ought to pray. You want to pray in that situation. People who want to help others need to pray. People who want to be right with God need to pray. When you're in that situation that I just described off the cuff, but you ought to be praying. You ought to be praying. Is anybody counting? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. No, we're not going that far. Anybody know what number I'm on? 8. Good. We're on 8?
Yeah, no, good. Number
139. Psalm 139. Yeah. Number 8. Can we take a vote on that? Okay. Close enough. Okay. Psalm 139. Are we on that one? When you want to be right with God, you ought to pray. And it says here, search me, O God, and know my heart. When you go to a doctor, you want the doctor to find something wrong with you. Or you want him not to find something wrong with you, as long as you didn't have anything wrong with you. Too many of you come to church and you say, I sure hope that preacher doesn't find anything wrong with me. I sure hope the Holy Spirit don't find anything wrong with me. And that's the way our preaching has become. It's tiptoe through the tulips. We don't want to offend anybody. You know, there was a time when they preached against glasses that maybe even looked like this. Do you know there was a group called the Beatles in their music? And I believe they used to wear glasses that had rims around them. They had special type of glasses. If you wore those glasses, people knew that you were a Beatle fan and you just had window glass in it. And fundamental independent preachers would preach against glasses like that. Yes? Nobody knows. You're learning something new. But they would preach against that because of the association with. Search me and know my heart. You don't need me to search you. You need the Holy Spirit and you to search you. There are things in your closet, my closet, everybody's closet. There are things in a closet that ought not to be there. And if I was to search your closet, you'd get mad at me. But if you search your closet, you're going to make some changes in what you found in the closet. People who want to be right with God need to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way of everlasting. God is the best one to examine you. Married couples, who's the next best one? I gave you a hint. Come on now. Who's the next best one to examine you? God's the best one for everybody. But if you're married, who's the next best one? Not your boss, but your wife or your husband, your spouse, is the best. And see, I have this thing about reckless driving. Reckless driving occurs when you drive over the speed limit. And so my wife has been programmed to tell me what the speed limit is. And if that doesn't work, we've got one of these little recorder type of things that says beep, 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 before they go. So I'd rather have the beep, 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 beep than. God wants to help us. Don't get mad at him. You shouldn't be buying that. You shouldn't be reading that. You shouldn't be watching that. You shouldn't be going there. And so God wants you to be a in his image, if you would, of righteousness. People who want to be right with God ought to pray. and ask him to search and look. And then God's going to look. Your spouse is going to look. Those who you are associated with are going to look, that you might have a clean life, a clean heart, a clean life. People want, one more, people want to know God's will ought to pray. People want to know God's will ought to pray. People who want God's power ought to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Make fifth reference to those tracks in the back. I had a bright idea that I was sharing with myself. Myself's the only one who appreciates my bright ideas. But I had a bright idea that I just pray over them. After everybody leaves, I'd come in and just pray over those. Why don't you pray over those? Why don't you take one and put it in your vest park, close to your heart, and say, Lord, this track, do something with it. And then, some number of years from now, when you're in glory, and somebody just kind of communicates in some way with you, yeah, I prayed over that track. I didn't have a good memory back yonder there, but I remember now that it was in a grocery store, whatever, wherever it was. You would remember. The devil's crowd is out there winning because they have the main ear, the predominant mind of American people. And the Christians, who once were the predominant mind of American people, have pulled back away. And I'm just saying to us this morning, we need to get back out and getting the gospel message out to a lost and dying world. Now, you came in here this morning. Have you personally responded to that message? Have you been born again? It's sometimes interesting because you stand here and I can see all your faces and I can see, you know, the response and whatever. But have you had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? I was once a sinner, the songwriter said. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardoned to receive from my Lord. It was freely given, and I found that he always keeps his word. I trusted Christ as my only Lord and Savior. Why did I do that? Because somebody told me over and 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 over again that I was a lost sinner. And I told him, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But he kept telling me. And God sent down his Holy Spirit and brought conviction in my heart. And like a baby would cry, when I realized hell was a breath away, that I needed Jesus. And if you're here this morning, I want to say to you, you need Jesus. Amen. It will not offend you if you have Jesus. You heard the amen. But if you don't have Jesus, you ever been in a place where somebody walks up to you and says, you must be a Christian. Leave me alone. Well, I was watching you with your family. You looked like Christian. No. You really get excited when somebody says that to you. Huh? Would we not have that testimony? That I'm a Christian. I'm not suggesting you get yourself a big jacket, but you could do that. You can communicate the gospel some way, all right? We need to do it, folks. We can't just take it and let it go in this ear and out that one. It needs a bypass down here. You need some bypass surgery. Right here. Not from this ear to that ear, but bypass surgery from this ear and let it stay there for a while. And communicate the good news that Jesus saves. I'll close with this. Are you not glad that somebody told you about Jesus? Somebody mustered up enough courage to say something to you about Jesus. Now you stop and think about it. You probably told him to be quiet. Leave me alone. I'm good enough. You're only 7. Why are you telling me I need to, youngster in Sunday school learned about Jesus. He comes home and tells you, Grandpa, and you tell him to be quiet. He loved you. He learned of God's love. And he carried that message home to your abode. People, need the Lord. And as I see and you see, where are they going to get it from? It's not inside a Cracker Jack box. It's coming from you to a lost and dying world. I'm thrilled that there's a nucleus of Bible believers here. Amen? Who have a desire and burden to reach those outside. Ask God to give us something that we don't have. And help them to use what we don't have to His glory. And don't make an excuse for yourself. True story is told of a guy who had a stuttering problem. And he wanted to tell somebody about Jesus. And he practiced and he practiced and practiced till he conquered that. I was at a church not long ago. And I wanted to communicate the gospel. So I got the Christian flag. No, it was an American flag. But I stood out in front of the church, is all I'm saying. And just pointed to the cross. Because people are going 70 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour down that highway. There's nothing to do. But I wanted to say something to them. Be somewhat creative. Okay? Because there's people out there that need what you have. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these people. We thank you for each one that's sitting here in this sanctuary. We thank you for the people over the weeks, months, years have come here to hear your man preach the gospel. We pray that you would continue to bless the ministry here. Pray that each person that sits in the sanctuary today would have a heart's desire to do with their lives, with our lives, what would be pleasing to you. Lord, as we stand or sit here, help us to ponder what it might be like had not someone come to me and told me about Jesus. And had they not come again after I told them to go away. And had they not come again and again and again and again after repeated times I told them, just go away. I don't want to hear it. But one day the Holy Spirit took that, broke my heart, brought me to my knees, and I got born again. Lord, may that be our testimony this day. As we go forth from this place, give us traveling mercies and safety. Use each one here to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. While I was praying, a thought came through my mind. Always a thought. Thought came through my mind. What do you want to do for God? What do you want to do for God? Before you leave here, say, this is what I'm going to do. I heard the preaching, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a roll of 50-cent stamps or whatever there are today. Remember when there were 3 cents, 2-cent stamps? Anybody remember 2-cent stamps, 3 cents? Yay, amen. All right, we're in good company here. Anyway, get yourself a roll of those stamps and get some of them gospel tracts. Put them in an envelope. Put the stamp on the outside and mail it. However you can get an address and just mail it to somebody. Say, that's a waste of 50 cents. Better than eating another ice cream cone. Amen. Yeah, who knows what God is going to honor with what you're doing. Amen. We're going to sing a song. Let me get out of here.
All right. 654 in the hymn book. Oh. this song. I've heard it, but it's been a really long time. So it's a good song, and there are a lot of good words in that song. We'll have to sing it again sometime, that way we can learn it. All right, let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you for the opportunity we had to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thankful for the songs we're able to sing that bring honor and glory to you. We pray that as we are still here on this earth, we have a job to do. And just because the world has changed doesn't mean you have. You have not. You remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our job is to go tell people of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once your spirit has convicted their hearts and they trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior, then it's our responsibility to disciple them and train them to serve you faithfully as long as the Father tarries the Son from coming. We pray that we would be busy doing our Father's business as our Lord Jesus did when he was here. Dismiss us now with your blessing. We pray that we will be back at the next appointed time, ready to receive from you whatever you would have us to do. Give us a good day ahead now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.